Hey everyone, it's Pastor Micah, lead pastor here at High Praise Crestview. I want to say thank you for choosing to listen to today's podcast. I want to encourage you to subscribe to this podcast wherever you're listening from today, and go connect with us on social media as well. My prayer is that as you listen to this message, you're encouraged, blessed, and transformed by the power of the Word of God. Now open your heart and get ready to receive what God wants to speak to you today. Let's pray this morning real quickly before we dive into this message. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to get to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, even as it says in Psalms, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight. I thank you, Father, that it is. I thank you, Lord, that we this morning have come to receive the ministry and the gospel of Jesus. We want to know more about you. We want to experience your goodness, your love, your mercy, your grace. We want to experience all that you have to offer, Father. Lord, I ask that you anoint my tongue as a ready and skillful writer, that you will speak what you want spoken today. Holy Spirit, it is you in me. Let me decrease as you increase, Father. So I thank you for that right now. Lord, we lean into the things of the Holy Spirit. And God, right now, I thank you for every single person under the sound of my voice that you've brought here today. It's not by accident they are here, but you brought them here with divine purpose and heart. Father, I thank you, Lord, that you open their ears. Those that have ears to hear, let him and let her hear today. Let them hear the word of God and let them receive with the revelation knowledge of who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. How many of you enjoyed the last few weeks? We were talking about the need for the paraclete and just what the Holy Spirit is for us. Let me encourage you, if you didn't get to hear that series, go check out the High Praise podcast, High Praise Crestview, on any podcast platform. You can find it there. I think that series was needed for people in the church, okay? I believe it is needed for the present day that we live in. As a matter of fact, we're taking our youth to Movement Con, which thank you, parents, for signing your kids up. How many do we end up having? 23 students are going to Movement Con. That's awesome. 23 kids are going to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit. They're going to experience the presence of the Holy Spirit in a non-familiar place, which sometimes is good, especially for young people. They need to experience the Holy Spirit outside of their group of familiarity that they're in week to week, or under the voice that they're in under every single week. But we're taking 23 students over there, and even at there, I told Pastor Chelsea, said, I really feel like this is a message for the generation that's coming up, because they need to be reminded of the need for the Holy Spirit in their life, in their schools, in their workplace, in their colleges, wherever they go. They need the Holy Spirit just like adults need the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is no respecter of persons, okay? So if he will, there is no big Holy Spirit and little Holy Spirit. There is not micro spirit and large spirit. No, it is the Holy Spirit. It is separate. It is different. That means it is one. It's separate, okay? So I'm going to share that at Movement Conference. But I believe that was really an imperative message and series for our church family. So I encourage you, if you weren't here for, and if you missed any of those, please go check that out when you get some time. I would love for you to listen to that series. I think it's a great guide for you to receive the power of the Holy Spirit. But today, we talked about the Holy Spirit over the next few weeks, but you know, next week is a very important Sunday. It is Father's Day, where we're going to celebrate the men of God within our church and the men of God in our world. We're going to celebrate all the men that are here. As a matter of fact, next week, men, you're going to get a small gift to give to you. And so make sure you're here next week. Bring a friend. And we're going to have donuts before service. Your Pastor Chelsea said that in the video bulletin. But I actually want to start a series called The Father. Somebody say The Father. We talked about the Holy Spirit last few weeks. And now we're going to talk about our Father God. We're going to look at God's heart for us, and I am so stirred for this series. And I'm not gonna cry. As I've been studying the series, God has been so good to me, and he's been illuminating so many truths about his heart towards us, just to me personally, that some things that maybe I have gotten wrong and I've looked at incorrectly. And I believe that it is very important that we know who our Father God is, and that we know that he is the Father from whom all good things come from. Every good and perfect gift comes from where the Father is, what the scripture says. And so I believe it's important. So over the next few weeks, and I don't even know how many weeks right now, originally I said 4 weeks, but then I had my whole message ready on Thursday, and Holy Spirit slapped me upside the head, said, what are you doing? That is not the right message for Sunday. That's for the next week. And so the Holy Spirit gave me this message literally yesterday, sitting on the front porch. I sat on the front porch for a few hours, and wrote out this sermon. And we're just going to jump into this this morning. But you know, when you look at creation, You see a father that creates children. You see God the Father creates whom? He creates Adam and Eve. You have this beautiful story of creation. God is their father in that moment. And they wanted a relationship with God. And likewise, guess what? God wants and wanted a relationship with them. We see in the Bible where Adam actually walked in the garden and had what? A form of relationship and communication. He communed with God. There was a mutual a want and desire to have that kind of relationship, a father and son relationship. From the beginning of time, it is normal for humankind to desire a father figure within their life. You know, I have three boys. Pastor Chelsea and I, we have three boys. And it would be strange because, understand what it says, because I am a good father to them, it would be strange for them to not want a relationship with me. Is that right? It would be safe to say that that would be very strange for them not to want to have that kind of relationship. Now, I understand that many of us in this room have different relationships with our natural father. Some of you have good relationships. Some of you have bad relationships. Some of you have had abusive relationships with your father. But I would venture to say this, that at one point in time in your life, at some point in time, when you look at your life, you have had or desired or wanted a good, healthy relationship with your father. Is that true? Yes. All of us. Because why? God shows forth in the beginning, that is how he created mankind, for there to be relationship with the Father, okay? And what, I'm way ahead of myself, but see what I want to, you, well, I'm a wait. He created us that way. I'm gonna go there. My prayer is that in this series, you'll come to see and that you'll truly see God's heart towards you, and you can accept him as that Psalm 68 God that says he's a father to the fatherless. Which, guess what? That means if this was being penned in Psalms, that means that there was kids that had abusive fathers. There was kids that had fathers that abandoned them. There was kids that had this take place in their life too. I say that to say, if you have went through that, because I want to be tender to this, and I want to be compassionate towards this, I want to show the heart of Jesus towards you in this. What I am saying right now is that you're not alone. This has happened with others, and the scripture tells us that he can be a father to the fatherless, to the ones that have experienced abusive parental relationships, to the ones that their parents have up and left them. God can be that father to the fathers. He can be a defender of widows. He is God in his holy dwelling. And the Bible says he sets the lonely in families in that same scripture. So my prayer is that if you've dealt with fatherly abuse and or abandonment, that in this series, you will find a place of some sort of healing for you. That you'll find healing in God's heart towards you, even though that the example you may have had as a father that was a father to you may not have exampled that well. My prayer is that over the next weeks of this series, you find healing of who God can be for you. And because you have seen your natural father in a certain way, areas where you have had glasses on that have distorted and messed up the perspective of God the Father, my prayer is that you will stop viewing the lens of God, the holy, perfect Father, through the lens of your father that may have abandoned you, that may have abused you. Maybe he was even a good father, but my prayer is still that even if you had a healthy relationship with your father, that you have a better relationship with your perfect father, whom is God. Amen? If you have a great bio, adopted step, or any other incredibly godly father in your life, my prayer is you'll be filled with gratitude in this series, but also realize that God is a perfect father and he's an even better father. As good as a father I am, because I believe, and Pastor Chelsea can correct me right now in front of all of you if I'm wrong, but I believe I'm a good father. I believe that I love my kids. I believe that I help lead my kids. I believe that I train them in the ways of the Lord and great will be their peace. I believe this. I believe I hug them. I do. I hug them. I love on them. I tell them I'm proud of them. I challenge them. I get on to them sometimes. I challenge them to do better things sometimes, but I'm not perfect. And my prayer is that my kids will realize that and say, but I do have a perfect father. So even in the times where my dad is deficient, he is perfect. Okay? Now, I want to open this series with a couple of thoughts from A.W. Tozer. If you've never read A.W. Tozer, he's an incredible writer. He was a pastor. And he says this in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, says this: what comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. What comes to your mind right now when I say God is the most important thing about you. What do you think about? I'm going to let you know, I'm not preaching this series. I'm teaching. Y'all that come here, y'all know I'm normally going to scream, shout, hoop, and holler. I want to try to teach some things in this, because I believe this is a very vital message for you. I believe this can be one of the most significant series you sit under in this church, is understanding who your Father is. Because you will never, I am ahead of myself, but it's okay. You will never rightly know who you are until you know who your Father is. You cannot know your identity, your calling, your purpose, what He says about you, what His thoughts towards you, and all these things, if you don't know who He is first. You've got to get this right. A.W. Tozer also said this: a right conception of God is basic, not only systematic theology, but to practical Christian living as well. It is to worship what the foundation is to the temple. Where it is inadequate or out of the plumb, the whole structure must sooner or later collapse. And let me just go ahead and tell you today, I hope that if you have been building your foundation on an inadequate version of God, I pray that it does collapse. And I pray that we rebuild it through this series. My prayer is that that whole structure comes tumbling down and you have to start fresh and rebuild from the ground up, and you build a better structure built on a greater foundation. Some of you, your relationship with God has not been good because you haven't even known what the relationship with God should look like. And I'm here and I'm praying that this series helps you in that. Will you turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 8? Romans chapter 8, verses 15 and 16. It says this: for you did not receive the spirit of bondage, thank the Lord, again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out. What do we cry out? Abba, Father, which is really just saying, Father, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children. Somebody say children. We are children of God. And if children, what? Then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You can stop right there. So Abba here is denotes Father. So really, like I said a moment ago, the scripture is really saying we cry out, Father, Father. Abba is a way, it is an endearing term towards God as Father, though. It denotes a deep, an intimate relationship. Listen to me, when we receive Jesus as Lord and Savior and are born again by the Spirit, we are adopted into God's family, and we then have access to Him as Father, okay? So whenever you receive Jesus as Lord and Savior, whenever you, if you've ever made that declaration of your heart, if you've ever called on the Lord, if you've ever believed in your heart, confessed with your mouth, repent of your sins, and believe that He is Lord, you are saved. But not only that, you now have the access and ability to call Him Father, because there has been a new birth that's taken place. You were once one way, but now the old is dead and gone. Behold, all things have become new through a new creation that took place whenever you received Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, in the scripture, it talks about where Jesus explains to Nicodemus, and He explains to him what that means. And Nicodemus is like, dude, what, Jesus, what are you talking about? What do you mean I have to be born again? And Jesus explains to him, you're not literally going to go back through the womb and it all take place over again. There's not going to be a reincarnation that takes place or anything like that. What there is going to be is that you are going to be changed by the new birth of the Spirit, okay? And so that, whenever that takes place, and I understand this is elementary, but some of us don't even know this elementary gospel, okay? So some of us in this room need to hear this. Let me just encourage you, all you, anybody that's sitting in this room, if you ever think that you have passed the elementary of the gospel, there's a problem. Everything else we do builds on this. What did A.W. Tozer basically say? If we don't have this right, or even let's just go as far as say this, if we even begin to forget this or put it on a back shelf, everything else we're doing is out of alignment, because we got to have a solid foundation first. This relationship and access to Him as Father is not distant or formal. It is close and personal. I'm going to say it like this. My kids can see me in ways none of you can see me. Ain't none of y'all, other than this lady right here, seeing me in my boxers walking around the house, okay? Ain't ever going to happen. My kids have seen me numerous times in my boxers walking around the house, okay? Because I don't have a distant or formal relationship with my kids. I'm not, yes, hello, Levi. I'm not Darth Vader. I'm not like, you know, going to fight him with a lightsaber or anything like that. I am very close with my kids. Ain't nobody else in this room getting cuddles other than this lady right here. Nobody else is getting cuddles with me either. You know why? Because I'm not distant and far off from my kids, but rather I am close. There's an intimacy, a relationship, a closeness that God wants to have with you. I want you to get that this morning, that he wants to have that relationship with you, no matter who you are in this room, whether you've called on the name of the Lord yet or not. He still is desiring relationship with you. He still wants, you are still the apple of his eye, no matter how many times you've messed up. I don't care if you sinned right before you walked in this room. Guess what? He still is desiring an intimate relationship with you. In the Message version, it says the scripture like this. I liked the way this worded because some of us in this room maybe need to hear it more broken down, not as formal. It says this: the resurrection life you receive from God is not a timid, grave-tending life. It's adventurously expectant, greeting God with a childlike, "What's next, Papa?" God's Spirit touches our spirits and confirms who we really are. We know who he is, and we know who we are, father and children. We know we are going to get what's coming to us, an unbelievable inheritance. We go through exactly what Christ goes through. If we go through the hard times with him, then we're certainly going to go through the good times with him. Listen, his Spirit bears witness with ours. In other words, he touches our spirit, and he makes us his children. And then we know that he is our God, and he is our Father. We should know him and call him as Father. In Matthew 6, we see Jesus teaching us how to pray. How does Jesus teach us how to pray? He says, in this manner, and then he goes on to say, pray this way, our Father in heaven. I believe it's very, how many of you believe that whenever Jesus speaks, you find red letters, it's important? How many of you believe that Jesus wasted any words? No. Jesus was not a waster of words. He didn't just speak to speak. Whenever he spoke, you better pay attention and lean in a little further, okay? He says, our Father. Notice he doesn't say, my God, my Father. Whose Father? Our, collectively as children of God. He's speaking to disciples. So our Father, everybody who calls on the name of the Lord, our Father, not our Jehovah, not our healer, not our redeemer, not our salvation. There is an emphatic statement here that Jesus makes that we often skip over where he calls him Father. You want to know why I believe he says this? It's because this, you will approach others through the identity you have with them. You will approach others through the identity that you see them. In other words, I kind of said this a moment ago, I will approach my wife through the identity of her being my wife. That means if I want to walk on up, give her a hug and a smooch, then I'm going to do that. Now, Janae, I am not going to do that. Because that's not the identity I see her through. If I show up to Janae, I'm like, what's up, Janae? Fist bump, let's go. Right? Like, side or the side hug, the church side hug, right? Because that's, she has an identity of friend. She does not have the identity of intimacy and closeness. She has an identity of friend. Listen to me. Many of you, once again, don't know God as Father, so you don't approach him in that way. And the approach and identity of Father is so much better than you even think. Some of you aren't approaching God as Father just because you've seen him as Father and you call him Father, but you don't know what Father is. because of what you've exampled, what's been exampled in front of you and what you've experienced. I want healing to happen in your heart through that. Acknowledgement of him as father establishes correct perspective. When we have a correct perspective of him as a good father, it creates goodness within our life. Good things begin to take place. Listen to me, I'm going to say this again. I understand that some of us didn't have good father figures. Some of us have not experienced that, have not got to see that. But I want to remind you, and you can write this down, that God is a perfect father. God is a perfect father. Some of us refused to even accept the spirit of adoption because we were abused by an earthly father. Listen, God does not abuse. Some of us will not accept the spirit of adoption, and we hold on to the spirit of fear and shame and all these different things because our father shamed us. God does not shame. He does not condemn. Some of us will not receive the love of God because what was told was love to us was actually sexual abuse. God does not do that. God is a perfect father, and he wants you to experience him as a perfect father. James said, every good and perfect gift comes from where? The Father of light. That means only goodness can come from him. Only good things come from God. And even correction is good things. And we're talking a little about correction today. Even correction is a good thing. It helps us. It helps us grow. Now, we've gotten correction wrong, and we think that correction means God is causing this sickness so I can be corrected. That's not God. God is not the author of sickness. He is the author of healing. Do not think for a second that there's cancer in your body, so God's teaching you a lesson. No, he's not. That's the fall of man. We live in a fallen world. Sickness is here. We believe God, the covenant of healing. We pray over that. We believe for that to take place, and I've seen it take place time and time again. But that is not God. John said it like this in 1 John 3:1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us. What love he has shown forth towards us, the God of the creator of everything, that we, in our depravity, in our sin, in our struggles, in the things that we face on the daily, on the things you're still overcoming, the things you're still climbing out of, what great love has the Father bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Right. Children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The Amplified says it like this. See what incredible quality of love the Father has shown to us. That we would be permitted to be named and called and counted the children of God. And so we are. For this reason, the world does not know us, because it did not know him. Can I tell you that his identity is father and your identity is child? That's what the scripture is saying. He is the father. You are a child. And don't get that out of line. Anybody got any kids in this room that sometimes forget that they're the child? Anybody? Yeah. You know what I'm talking about. We have a 14-year-old, he's actually only 10. I probably should say 18-year-old, and he's actually only 10. And sometimes he likes to try to get onto me. You know what happens real quickly? Dad reminds him of his order in the food chain in this house. Okay? Don't bite the hand that feeds. Right? Like I am father. You, child, repeat it back to me. I hope, yeah. Don't get that out of alignment. Sometimes we think, I know better than God. I know how to do this. I know I'm child, but I know better. God doesn't fully know everything I've been going through. Like, there's no way he's got way too many people. He's got billions of people to look after. There's no way he actually knows what I'm. Listen, God knows what you're going through. Y'all ever seen the movie Bruce Almighty and Jim Carrey? And he's sitting there at the computer, and he's getting all the he's playing. He's having to be God, and he's sitting there just typing away. You know, God is, he sees every detail. He's not just writing a letter back. He sees what's going on in life. He is a God who actually, we're going to talk about this next week or the week after. I'm not sure yet. This series is just, I just know I want the heart of God to be exposed in this. And I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, what do you want to say this week about our Father? But next week, the plan is to talk about the God who sees, El Roy, the God who sees us. Because he does. He sees everything. He sees you when you're frustrated. He sees you whenever people are talking bad about you. He sees you when they're being abused. He sees you whenever you are doing great and seeing victory in your life. He sees all these things. But his identity is Father. Your identity is child, which means we're to submit to him. We're to obey him. What's the Bible say? Honor your children. Honor your father and mother that may go well with you so that you may have long life here on the earth, right? Can I tell you that the same thing goes with our Heavenly Father? You need to honor our Heavenly Father. Worship his name. Love him. Submit to him. Follow his ways. Listen to the ways of the Lord. Follow his word, amen? The Father loves us so much that he calls us his children. He is the king of all the earth. He is the creator of all. But listen, the world doesn't have the access that you have, is what the scripture says. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. You have a different access. You have an all-access pass. You have a backstage pass to God, okay, to the heavenlies. Let me say this too. You are not an illegitimate child. He created you. You are not an illegitimate child. No matter how you were conceived, you are not an illegitimate child. He created you. You are a child of God, which gives you access to call him Father. I'll say this again. You will approach others through the identity you have with them, or you will approach God through the identity you have with him. The God of all creation created you, sees you, knows you, and calls you child. Some of us approach God like we would approach our earthly father, though, with preconceived notions, with fear, trepidation, concern, or even, let's go further, we don't. We don't approach him at all in our times of need. Because we were never able to do that with our father. Whether it was because they abandoned us, or whether it was because they didn't care, they didn't show concern, whatever that looked like for you. So we approach God in that way. And we look at God, and we go, but the scripture gives us, let me say this quick, put this up on the screen for me. This is an unknown person who said this. I'm not sure who said it, but it said this. The only person who dares wake up a king at 3 a.m., for a glass of water is a child. We have that kind of access. The only person who dares to go and wake up a king at 3 a.m. for just a simple glass of water is a kid. The only person who runs in our room in the middle of the night because they have a tummy ache is Reagan, our kid. And that's because they have that kind of access. If Michael Tomlin showed up to my house at 3 a.m., if he showed up to my house at 3 a.m., I would actually be really worried and I probably would go and run out there, but what is going on? If Michael Tomlin showed up in my house, in my bedroom at 3 a.m., I'm kicking him out, okay? Because he doesn't have that kind of access. You know, when I show up to my dad's house, my dad has this thing with us as kids. And he says this, says, whatever I have, you have. Whatever I have, you have. I'm thankful for my father, for my natural, biological father. I'm grateful that I have a good dad. I'm thankful that I was raised in the fear and the admonition of the Lord. I'm thankful that he taught me the word of God. I'm thankful that he was there. I'm thankful that he cared. I'm thankful for those things. And I'm thankful that he still is that way. And he gives us what if whatever you have need of, son, if it's mine, it's yours. There's been times where we've been in need of a vehicle, and he goes, hey, just take my Infiniti. You're fine. You just take this. We'll deal with one car for right now. Y'all need this car because your car is in the shop. That's my dad. That's how he is. Whenever I show up to my dad's house and I walk in the door, and if I walk in thirsty, I don't go to my dad and go, Dad, Papa, please, sir, could you spare a Coke Zero? Like, please. And I don't have to beg him. I don't walk in and go, I don't know if I should ask him if I can have a Coke Zero or not because it might be embarrassing, or I might he might hit me, or I might be concerned or anything like that. I have no concern. I can literally live out Hebrews 4:16, which says, "Let us then with confidence or boldness draw near to the throne of grace." I can with boldness walk in my dad's house and go, "I'll take a Coke Zero, thank you very much," and just drink it. And the scripture says this, that we may find mercy and grace to help in the time of need. The message says it like this. So let's walk right up to him and get what he is so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help. Some of us, what's scripture also say? You have not because why? You ask not. You have not because you ask not. Let's walk right up to him. Listen, you have access to the Father. You have that 3 a.m. I need water in the middle of the night access to a Father who listens to you and he cares for you. And whenever you speak to him, he is there and he's listening. He's saying, "That's my son. That's my daughter. I see what they need. I'm there to help them." He is an ever-present help in the time of trouble or a time of need is what he says about, what the word says about him. Can I tell you that I want you to understand that you don't have to be afraid to go to God. You don't have to be fearful of what God might say back to you, but rather boldly approach the throne of grace and receive help in the time of need. Whatever you have need of, you can ask for from God. Not only that, whenever our children were born, there was something that took place after your kid's born. Sometimes they do it before. There is a piece of paper that you have to sign as a father and a mother that is the birth certificate. And on the birth certificate, it is not like a strong password situation where they just give it its own thing and write in the name of the person. No. Who gets to name their kids? The parents. I had a role in naming my children Levi, Gideon, Levi, Lane Gay, Gideon, David Gay, and Reagan, Luke Gay. We named those, all three of our kids. No one else had the right or the access to name them. The only people that had the access were the parents. As the father, I had the right to name my children. The nurse could have walked in the room and said, "Well, I think it should be blah, 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 blah." And I could have looked at that nurse and said, "It doesn't matter what you think." Or in the words of The Rock, "It doesn't matter what your name is." Okay, like, it doesn't matter what name you want to give my kids because that's not the name I chose. When people come up to you and try to name you things that is not in alignment with what God has named you, you can look at them and tell them, "I don't care what you're naming me. God has already named me. He has already named me as one that is provided for. He has already named me blessed. He has already named me that I have the mind of Christ and that I will succeed. He's already named me and said everything my hand touches will succeed and prosper. He's already named me and said that I can walk in healing and that I can walk in the salvation of the Lord. He's already named me that I'm not alone, but he's always with me. He's already named me, so you can call me dumb, ugly, whatever else you want to call me, but brick wall, waterfall, you think you got it all, but you don't, okay? And I do. So boom with that attitude. I can go the whole thing, okay? Like, it really doesn't matter. I told my son this the other day because with our last name, kids are cruel sometimes. And so some of you are too. No, it's playing. But they're doing flag football and, you know, the coach decided he wanted to put their names on the back of their jerseys. And they didn't ask me. And generally when someone does that, we ask for Levi on the back. And because kids are cruel and sometimes. And so they put Gay on the back. And man, kids immediately just started poking and making jokes at him. He's very sensitive about that. We've been talking with him, walking through all that with him. I dealt with it. But now it's like, yeah, that's my last name. Cool guy. It means happy, actually. Get educated. But anyways, we're talking to him, my daddy say this to me all the time, because if you can't tell, I am sensitive at times. And he'd tell me, son, you got to let it be like water off a duck's back. And he went, huh? I said, water off a duck's back, Levi. You've got to let people's words, they have no power over you. They only have the power that you allow them to have. The only power they can have is the power that you submit to those words. Now, I believe death and life are in the power of the tongue. Yes, you eat the fruits thereof. That's the words I'm going to speak, though. When the words are spoken that are not in alignment with who God is, I believe that they have no power over me. I believe that I can stand in the righteousness of God. I believe that I can stand in His power and in His grace, and those words don't have to own me if He is already owning me. Right? He's already my Father. He's already named me. Your names mean nothing to me. Okay? I'm coming to a close. Y'all get something out of this today?
Yes.
I pray this is healing and good for you today. One thing that God promises to do as Father is never leave His children. I know I've talked about this a lot today, but maybe you had a father that abandoned you, that left you. Maybe you never got to experience the closeness of a natural biological father. Maybe you never experienced the closeness of a father figure in your life. And I realize that today, I'll probably talk a little about this next week, the statistics of fatherless households and fathers that have abandoned their posts as fathers is really high. I will also say this, though. It is actually proven and statistically showing that fathers today that are still present are spending more time with their kids than ever before. And that's a huge thing. That's a huge influence in society right there. It is proven that millennial fathers are spending more time, and I know we like to harp on the millennials for a lot of years, the churches did, but millennial fathers are actually spending more time with their children than any generation in the past. That's a huge deal. And that's something to celebrate. And that's something to honor, because we need that within our world today. We need that within our nation. We need that in the church. We need men of God to spend time and show up in their households and to lead their homes. But He promises never to leave us. I'm going to give you a few scriptures. You may want to write these down so you can go back to them in times where you might feel abandoned, where you might be feeling that loneliness, when you might feel like no one's listening. I want you to remember these scriptures. John 14, 18 says this, I will not leave you as orphans. I will not leave you as orphans. He's not going to leave you feeling abandoned. He's not going to leave you feeling alone. Deuteronomy 31 and 6, He says that He'll never leave us or forsake us. In Hebrews 13, 5, He repeats that same sentiment and echoes the same thing in the text, where He says, He will never leave us or forsake us. In 1 Samuel 12 and 22, it says, the Lord will not abandon His people, listen to this, because that would dishonor His great name. To leave you would be dishonor. Disney movies. It would be dishonor on His great name. That's why He never leaves you, because He's not going to dishonor Himself. He's going to honor His word and what He said He'll be for you. Philippians 1 and 6 says this, God didn't bring you this far to leave you. That's paraphrased, but it's a scripture where we see he who started a good work will be faithful to complete it. God doesn't listen to me, write this down, put it somewhere if you need this reminder. God doesn't disown you because you mess up. By show of hands of honesty in this room, how many of you have messed up? All right, we don't have to have an altar call today. We're good. Everyone in this room. All will fall short of the glory of God is what Scripture says. But He's never disowned you. I believe that even the worst of sinners that you know, he hasn't disowned them. He leaves the 99 for the one. It would be against his nature, his character. It would literally bring dishonor to his name to leave them. He hasn't left you, friend. Isaiah 64 and 7, we're coming to a close one day. It says, "Yet, Lord, you are our Father. We talked earlier about being submitted to God. Let's come back to that for a second. Isaiah 64 and 7, "Yet, Lord, you are our Father." I find it interesting that he says Father here, because then he says this, "We are the clay, and you are our potter. We are all the work of your hand." Now, we've used this text a lot of times to talk about how God shapes and forms us to be who he's called us to be, and I believe that, because we are his workmanship, okay? And he does. He works on us. He crafts us. He gives us what we need. He's there with us. But what's interesting, whenever you study pottery, and listen, anybody who hates TikTok, I'm just going to tell you real quickly, this revelation came from TikTok. It didn't come from TikTok, but I saw pottery going on TikTok. I was scrolling, and it stopped on this guy on TikTok who was crafting the pottery. And I stopped for a minute and watched him do this because it was very intriguing, and I began to think, how much longer is he going to do that? How much longer is it going to take for him to finish that? And it was like light bulb that the potter doesn't leave his clay until it is perfected. Meaning this, when there's imperfections, that's an assurance he's still with you. When there's areas of your life that have not been perfected yet, and you are not perfect in all things yet, that means there are still areas in your life where God is still shaping you. And some of us, he's shaping like this. Some of us, he's shaping like, no. He's still shaping us. He's still perfecting those things within us. And I think that's such a powerful revelation that the potter doesn't, if he's the clay and we're the potter, I mean, sorry, if we ask that backwards, if he is the potter and we're the clay, he doesn't leave us until we are fully perfected. It means he is always with us. Your imperfections don't scare him. But what he does in the midst of those imperfections is he begins to discipline those things and shape them the way they need to be. Discipline means training. That's literally what the word means. That's what you do when you discipline. It's a training. What did we learn some over the last couple weeks? All scripture is for training, correcting, rebuking. The Holy Spirit also trains us through counsel and comfort too. We learned some of that over the last couple of weeks. So God does discipline us, but God does not cause pain for punishment. He is only good. He doesn't condemn in correction. Matter of fact, Romans 8 and 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. It means that Jesus doesn't bring condemnation as correction. He corrects through conviction and through the word of God. And then, listen to me, it is then your choice, free will, to come into alignment with the word of God or reap the fruit of sinful seed, which the fruit of sinful seed, according to scripture, is death. And I'm not talking about necessarily you're going to die if you sin. I'm not saying that, okay? What I am saying is there might be things in your life that begin to die. There might be some things that begin to lack. You might start feeling deficient in some areas whenever you choose sin over and over and over again rather than coming to perfect alignment whenever he is correcting you. Miss Donna, will you come? We've got to let our identity come into alignment with what he is saying about us. We've got to acknowledge him in the identity that he is for us. He is our Father. But can I tell you real quickly, that doesn't just happen. You don't just overnight go, oh yeah, he's our Father, and now I know how to acknowledge him. No, we're going to have to bring some things into alignment. We are going to have to intentionally understand this truth about him being Father, which means this. I'm going to give you two things you need to do. Is you need to spend time in prayer, and you need to study this truth that he is Father and he is good. And over the next few weeks, that's my plan, is I want to show you the good attributes of God. I want to show you how he sees you. I want to show you his compassion towards you. I want to show you that he is love and he loves you. Over the next few weeks, I want you to really get hold of this so that you can rightfully see him, so that you can rightfully know who you are. Once again, you will never rightfully know who you are as a child if you don't know who he is as Father. So you need to spend time in prayer and study that truth, that we're his children, which once again, you have access to that. But then the other thing I'd love for you to do, I'm giving you homework today. I told you I'm teaching more so than preaching. I'll give you some homework. You need to go replace negative speaking of yourself and God with positive truths from the Word of God. We call this in deliverance ministry, we call this ungodly beliefs, where you believe one way about yourself because it's been spoken about you for so long, and now you've just taken that on and say, yep, that's me, yep. And so you find yourself speaking. And some of you've done that with God. You've said things about God that are not true about his nature, who he is. You've said things that are not in alignment with who he shows forth to be as Father in our life. And you need to go and you need to replace that. How do you do that? Placement therapy. You go and you find scripture that says the opposite of what you're believing right now. So if you believe that you're stupid, you'll never amount to anything, not so fast, my friend. You go and you find the scripture. I have the mind of Christ. You believe you're going to live in poverty all your life and you'll never have enough. The Bible says something very different, that he is Jehovah Jireh. He's my provider. The Bible says that I've never seen his seed begging for bread. It says that he'll provide for us. You got to replace what you believe about God and even about yourself right now with the truth of God's word. He is a good father. He cares for us. Will you stand to your feet this morning? Have you received something today? I pray that you have. Will you lift your hands to the Lord? Father God, we thank you right now for your love, your mercy, and your grace, your compassion poured out for us. We thank you, God, for this illumination and this reminder today of just the elementary gospel that you're a good God. You are our Father who cares for us, who loves us, who sees us, who takes care of us, that doesn't abandon us, that doesn't abuse us, that doesn't hold us over coals of fire just for the sake of anything. But Father, we thank you, you are a perfect God that perfects us. We thank you, God, that you are our Father, the potter. We are the clay, and you do not leave your work until we're perfected. Thank you that you're always with us, never leaving. You'll never leave us or forsake us, is what your word says. You won't leave us as orphans, but Lord, this love you have for us, that now we are called the children of God. So Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for that opportunity to be your child. We count it a privilege and an honor to get to serve you, our Father. So Father, we thank you for it now. We give you all glory, honor, praise. We thank you for what you've done, you're doing, and you're going to do. In Jesus' name, everybody said, amen. Will you give God one more hand clap of praise? Amen.